today on Real Radio.
Not all churches that have 501c3s and a steeple and a cross is a church. You need to know that. If it's doctrinally accurate and spirit-filled and Christ is exalted, it's his church. But not all that claim church are in fact churches.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you've joined us today here on Real Radio. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so he could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 11, we learned that God is not only the God of history, he's also the God of the future, always working towards our restoration. He knew of our need for a Messiah, and Isaiah told us that the Messiah would come from the branch of Jesse, and that the Holy Spirit will rest upon him. This means that the Messiah will have two birthrights. He'll be born from the seed of David, who is the son of Jesse, and he'll also have the Spirit of holiness. Both birthrights point to one Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in part 2, we'll continue in chapter 11, and see how Isaiah turns the eyes of the people of Israel towards the future salvation of God. So today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us how Isaiah describes who the Messiah is. He will have the Spirit of the Lord upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding will rest on him. The Spirit of counsel and might will lead him, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord will keep him. These are also the 7 spirits described to us in the book of Revelation, by the way. We're also going to learn a little more about why the number 7 is so important. And now continuing in his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Though the Roman Empire occupied the land of Israel, you and I have got the incredible wealth of knowledge to look back and see that 2,000 years ago they were dispersed throughout all the world, but in the last 65, 66 years they've been brought back into the land. And yet this prophecy is still going to be fulfilled. It's still forthcoming in its totality. Because obviously Christ came for them, but he was rejected according to the scriptures. But he's going to come a second time for them. And so this is an amazing portion of scripture that we're looking at. But the fact that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. That yes, it's true, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, but the doctrine of it does. Neither does the word Bible appear in the Bible. But Jesus is the Son of God, Savior of the world, so says the Old and New Testaments. But listen, again, today, maybe you're here tonight and you're denying. I don't believe Jesus is God. I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Listen, denial doesn't make things go away. You can deny stuff all you want. It doesn't make it go away. And I want you to think about this for a second. Today, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Jewish people deny that God has a son, and yet the Bible says he does. Today, Muslims deny that Jesus is God's son. In fact, all around, I've told you before, all around the Dome of the Rock Mosque in Jerusalem, in Arabic, it says, God is not begotten, neither does God have a son. Oh, thou protestest too much. They thought it was important enough to put it up there on the wall of the Dome of the Rock. God doesn't have a son. God doesn't have a son. God doesn't have a son. Well, that's interesting, because the Bible says he does have a son. I find it interesting today that atheists want to deny that Jesus is God's son. You ever think of that? Isn't it interesting that today the cults that knock on your door deny that Jesus is God's son? Everybody denies that Jesus is God's son. Bible doesn't deny. Bible confirms that. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Yikes. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Do you hear that? Isn't that strong? See, Pastor, that's very controversial. That's why I'm giving you this verse. Listen, I read it this week. One of my heroes in the faith is the greatest intellect America has ever produced. The most brilliant man America has ever produced. It's off the charts. Jonathan Edwards. Do you even know who he is? Jonathan Edwards, considered still to this day the smartest guy America has ever produced. Jonathan Edwards says, regarding Christianity, by nature, it's controversial. And he was talking about the cross. The cross is controversial. Jesus is controversial. And yet, what does the Bible teach? In 1 John 4, verse 14, 1 John 4, 14, it says, and we have seen and testify, says John, that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides, or God abides in him, and he in God. What a statement. Isn't that amazing? Look at that. Can you pass that test? Look at that. God is testing us. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, you can't believe that unless God is in you. So listen, don't say anything right now. Just ponder this. Can you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the exclusive Son of God? If you don't, it's because God doesn't abide in you. And you can't get mad at me. I didn't write this book. This is God's word. This is God's eternal truth. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Man, that's controversial. That's narrow, isn't it? Absolutely narrow. Because he only died once. He's not going to die again. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before, listen, the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel. Now look, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul understood that the Old Testament announced the gospel. Verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born, there you go, of the seed of David according to the flesh, that's DNA, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. All that's introduction to our second argument. Here it is, verses 2 through 5. The Spirit of God at work, mark it down, is mighty to save. Mark that down. God, the Holy Spirit at work. Look at verse 2. Church, circle verse 2. It is off the charts, fun to study. Are you ready? Verse 2 opens up. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Stop right there for a moment. Verse 2 has libraries plump with books written on this amazing, amazing verse. This is a messianic declaration regarding the rod, the stem, the root from Jesse. Bible students, take note of this. Whoever is being spoken about in verse 1, verse 2 describes who he is. And it gets kind of fun, gets kind of technical. So here we go. If you take your pen and allow me to read it again as I read it a moment ago, because this is how it is presented. Though the King James translators put it a little bit different in your Bible, follow with me, verse 2. Take your pen and write the number 1 down regarding this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's 1. Just put the number 1 there. Do you see where it says the Spirit of wisdom? That's number 2. The Spirit of understanding, that's number 3. Next, look, the Spirit of counsel, that's number 4. Next, the Spirit of might, that's 5. The Spirit of knowledge is 6. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord is 7. 7. Mark down in your margins, 7. This gets beautiful here in a second. In verse two at the opening statement there, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's singular. The Spirit, singular, of the Lord shall rest upon the rod, the stem, the root out of Jesse. And from there breaks out in pairs. There's three sets of pairs. Watch. The first set is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's one cluster. So number one stands alone. Number two and three in your notes, those are combined. Are you tracking with me? Is this confusing? You need to see this because it'll make sense here in a moment. The next pair is the Spirit of counsel and might. By the way, those were the names of the two pillars in the temple, Jokshan and Boaz. When the temple was built, it's Spirit and might. There's a reason for this. The next or the third cluster or pair is the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Watch, those pairs are all linked to the singular, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Do you see in your Bible, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Yahweh, that's God's name. Yah, the name of God, the root to salvation. God is salvation. You could say in verse 2, the Spirit of salvation, the very essence of God to man, shall rest upon him. What was Jesus' mission, by the way? I know I'm jumping ahead. I'm making a grand assumption that you're tracking on this. I want you to be skeptical, but I'm jumping ahead. What was the mission of Jesus, if that's who it's talking about? What was his mission? Salvation, to save us. That is the very name of God. Even his name Jesus, from Latin and Greek and reading them back to the Hebrew, is salvation. Salvation. Yahweh, Yehovah, we would say, is the God of our salvation. So watch this. Down the middle is this one singular declaration that the Spirit, the salvation of God, shall rest upon him. And from him will go out these pairs. Three sets of two. I know it sounds confusing, but hang on. Bear with me. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the sevenfold spirit or spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn or the first one from the dead. That word means he's the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Say amen, somebody. That's the gospel. But watch this. Skip ahead now. Revelation 5, verse 1. Revelation 5, verse 1. John goes on to say, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth, the spirit realm, was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Many scholars believe this is the title deed, the redemptive deed to the earth, that for earth to be redeemed, all of these seals have got to be opened by someone who's qualified to meet the demands in this testament, in this will, in this deed to the earth for redemption to take place fully. Verse 4, John says, so I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open or to read the scroll or to even look at it. But one of the elders said to me, we read this a moment ago, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out throughout all the earth. Hang on. Seven. What's with that? What's with this? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, when Jesus is writing his last words to the church in the book of Revelation, it says, "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write," Jesus is speaking, "these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." What is happening here? What is taking place here? Well, mark it down in your notes. In Exodus chapter 25, I'll paraphrase it for you. God speaks to Moses atop Mount Sinai. Remember that? And God tells Moses, "Go down, and I want you to build the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to build the Ark of the Tabernacle of Meeting, and I want you to build a menorah." And you guys are going to be educated tonight about some of these lampstands you have seen in Jewish worship or Judaism, the menorah. Listen, only in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, does the menorah appear. What is the menorah? The menorah, God told Moses to build it a certain way. And then when they built the temple in Jerusalem, it was to be built a certain way. If you've been with us to Israel, we went across the street from the Knesset, the seat of its government, and we stood there at the base of a giant menorah. What is a menorah? It's a seven lampstand, not eight, not nine. It's not the Hanukkah lamp. A menorah is the only lampstand that appears in the Bible. Seven. Seven. Why is that important? Let's put a picture up on the screen. You recognize that? Let's get a little closer. If you guys don't know, if you came here tonight for the first time through the side doors, that's what's in the foyer, okay? That's a 2,058-pound uncut stone from Jerusalem. They just knocked it out of the hillside, shipped it here. We put it in the foyer because Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation rock. That's a symbol for that. Well, yeah, what's with the menorah? We're not Jewish. Listen, you don't have to be Jewish to have a menorah because it appears, yes, with Moses in the Old Testament, but it reappears in Revelation 2. I just read it to you a moment ago. Jesus says, "I walked through the midst of that thing." That's why it's in the foyer of this church. We're inviting Jesus to walk around here. Watch this. Do you see the column, the middle branch? Okay, the branch. Or the, what do you call it? The stem, thank you. When you look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, when it says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, you are to take as a Jewish person Isaiah 11, verse 2, and you're to understand that that straight upright column, that stem, is the Spirit of the Lord. As you look, remember, what were the first group of three? What was the first? Say it out loud. I can look at my notes, but I want to hear it from you. Wisdom and understanding. So take the two next branches that go out. That's wisdom and understanding. And so on. What's the point? Listen, this is the ministry of the Lord. These are the attributes of Jesus Christ in the ministry to his people. The Bible tells us that in the volume of the book, it is written of the Lord. Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is announcing to the churches, "I walk through the midst of you." Why? Because in the tabernacle of meeting, the menorah was to be lit and the fire was to never go out, ever. Because God said, "You keep that burning, and I've ordained priests, teachers of the word of God, to keep it going. And it's to never go out. And they are to take care of my people with the word of God. And I'll meet with the priest. I'll tell them what to say. They go out and they teach the people." And so God says, "This is where we'll meet. The fire never goes out." Do you remember Jesus says, "You better watch out. If you don't repent of your sins," he's speaking to the church, "I will remove your lampstand from you." It doesn't mean they lose their salvation. It means they lose their witness. "I won't be at your church services anymore." Jesus would say, "I'm not coming." You say, "That would never happen." Oh, it's already happened. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is standing outside of a church knocking on the door of Laodicea asking to get in. I've been to the Hermitage in Russia, St. Petersburg, Russia, one of the greatest museums in the world. And there's a Rembrandt painting. I think it's a Rembrandt. It's one of those guys. I think it's a Rembrandt. It doesn't matter. There's a painting in there of Jesus at the door of the church knocking in that oil painting, and there's no handle on the door. You have to open it in front. You have to open it to him from the inside. That's exactly how he is. And a lot of people think that, well, that's Jesus reaching out to the non-believer. No, it's not. It's Jesus trying to get back inside of a church that had left him. He wants to walk through the midst. The seven spirits, or some translate it, the Spirit of the Lord with manifestation, in total seven. So look, again, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, that's one. The Spirit of wisdom, that's two. The Spirit of understanding, that's three. The Spirit of counsel, four. The Spirit of might, five. The Spirit of the knowledge is six. And seven is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. This is what Jesus lived out in his earthly ministry to mankind. That's his witness. And he expects us to be the same. And he expects every church that he is truly a part of and truly the focal point of worship to be doing. Not all churches that have 501c3s and a steeple and a cross is a church. You need to know that. If it's doctrinally accurate and spirit-filled and Christ is exalted, it's his church. But not all that claim church are in fact churches. It's tremendous. It gets to me more fun. In John chapter 8, verse 12, John 8:12, the Bible says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Every Jew that heard Jesus say that when he said it in Jerusalem understood he's talking about walking through the midst of the lampstands. Because that's the whole picture of Moses in the wilderness with God in the lampstands back then.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. And when you allow the Spirit of God to be at work in your life, you'll experience new life. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We're excited to let you know that Pastor Jack has recommended a book of the month for May. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook makes the wisdom and the message of the Bible accessible to everyone. Whether you read the Bible many times or maybe you've never checked it out before, you'll find insights into the religious culture, along with maps and settings in which each story of the Bible unfolds. Haley's Bible Handbook is written for both mind and heart, and it's completely revised and updated. There are also easy-to-understand sections on how we got the Bible and the history of the church. So head on over to our website and purchase your copy of Haley's Bible Handbook for yourself, or maybe even for someone you know who needs a little extra help in studying the Bible. Again, you'll find Haley's Bible Handbook. That's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.